This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father, Lord, we just receive mercy. Thank you, Father, because you have granted us help in the Spirit. Thank you for your angel that is here. Your angel of mercy and grace. Thank you for the speaker of the New Testament, Jesus, the Son of God, who is yet to give life and give it more abundantly. You will show us great mercy, Lord. Amen. You grant unto us great help in the Spirit. Amen. You will sit on your throne of grace and minister life to us. Amen. Thank you, our Father. Honor the Son of God. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen.
Crystal Pita, Mr. 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 Pita, M Pukatania Kutasana Hankul, Letakana Hankul, Sekotana Sakul, Namanata Hankul, Satana Katana Hankutusina, Oh Sakul, Ankul, Apinoto hop, up, 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 rising hop, rising up, rising up, rising hop, tide is rising hop. Oh, the wave is rising up. Oh, the measure is rising. The measure is rising. Oh, bino teke toba nuhasia toba. Measure up. Measure up. Measure up. Measure up. Mist. Mist. Till you come to the mist. Till you come to the mist of the matter. Till you come to the mist. Me. Till you come to me. Till you come to me, till you come to the center of it all. Oh, meet me, meet me. Come to meet me. Come to meet me. Measure up to meet me. Admoti tano potele toni manatabunakul. Come further. Come up. Come up. Come in. Come in. Come up. Come in. Come up. Miote, see me. See me. See me, view me, center, center of it all. I'm at the center of it all, drawing you to come, drawing you nearer, drawing you to see me better. Metonasia toklabania. Oh, high priest over the house. High priest, come, calling you. I'm the one calling you. I'm the one drawing you. I'm the one measuring you up. Again and again, I've come again to measure you up. I've come again to increase your measure. Oh, minokete ato salama na katisa. Come up again, see the Spirit of God.
We thank the Lord for how the Lord has been helping us since the beginning of October. Thank the Lord for the victory the Lord gave to us at all the sections we had so far. And I'm grateful to Jesus. We are grateful to Jesus for the mercy and help of God towards us. It is through birth that we find life. So there's no way we can find life without birth. The only avenue that has been spiritually, legally allowed is through birth. Without birth, we cannot gain life. So it's through birthing or birth process that life of God is communicated, or that is how they minister life. And we know that natural birth takes a period of time, at the averagely 9 months. So, and before birthing, natural birthing, they have to design 3 thrusters for it. First, the second, and the third. And that does not just come because they wanted to just calibrate like that. Medical science that calibrated it also know that there are milestones. That's why they calibrated it like that, because of the milestones that are attached to them. When they check baby in the womb, they discover that when they are 3 months, there are things that must be in place in 3 months. The natural cause of bringing about life is not instantaneous. Even when you read Genesis chapter 1, God created in Genesis 1, I'm talking about every form of life, every plant, all the field, every seed, and every beast of the field and fowls of the air in Genesis 1. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herbs yielding seed, and the tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth bore forth grasses, that's verse 12 of Genesis 1, and herbs yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in himself after its kind. And God saw that what? It was good. So you can see this, that God spake out. But speaking out of God is powerful. But God did not limit to speaking. You also see that God, in Genesis 2, verse 4 and 5, these are the generation of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. So, though God said it, you will think that they just appear. They grew. The tree grew. I don't know if you notice that days and years are more faster than when you are growing up.
Yes, sir.
Days are more faster. It's not what it used to be anymore. At least me, I know. It was like yesterday we did Happy New Year.
Yes, sir.
One of the reasons why I believe that years are being shortened. You know, can I say that? It says, except the day being shortened. It's in the Bible. They are shortening the day. Except those days should be shortened. So heaven is shortening days. So it's 24 hours, but they are shortening it. It's the wisdom of God. It's not timing. It's a law. So that law of God is affecting everything. I said, except those days be shortened. So they are being shortened. When I was going to primary 6 from 5 then, if you see the way they are big and the way their lap are wide and thick, but you see primary 6 children now, very tiny one like this. When you are in my primary 6, they are brother. We call them brother. We call them brother because when they play football, their lap is like 30 years old person now. What made that body so big like that now? It's no longer. It's so that the time that it takes the body, time over time, have been shortened. So what year runs? Maybe in those days, what made that one day might have been, maybe it's like 2 or 3 days that made one day in those days. Even when you look closely, God created time and season before they fall. But they began to count down. And I don't think that counting down stopped. I feel that they are still counting down. Because a time will come, they say, time no longer. They are counting down. They are counting down. It's like, you know, the way they design time bomb, the way, you know, we keep counting down. I feel that the earth is counting down like that. The earth is counting down like that. So the time are being shortened. Because immediately sin entered the world is only earth. Both heaven and earth, they started their clocking. They are clocking. The thing is clocking. So God knows the lifespan of the earth. He made the sin enter it. And so long as people are sinning, the time clock of the earth will run faster. The only thing that expands the lifetime of the earth is only righteousness. Because righteousness is life. Romans 8. So the only avenue that God expected life in the natural course to come on earth is through birth. Even natural life is through birth. And birth follow the process of growth. That was even the tree of the field. And whenever you also went to that Genesis 2:9, you also say, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Stone didn't grow. But when it came into things that have life, they grew. And God will not break that formula of life. The only being that God did not allow to grow are angels. But when it came to earth, the law of growth, God enacted it for life. Tree of life also grew. So eternal life must follow through growth process. So having that understanding, though eternal life will follow through growth process, but God will start the cultivation of eternal life. So there's a cultivation of eternal life. Because we saw the pattern in Genesis that God also called not only every other tree to grow in the midst of the garden, God also called the tree of life and the tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So evil in man is also growing. When you see an evil man today, your politicians, social commentators, rich men, men that own industries, and you see them manifest evil, the thing grew. And everything that you have on your inside that you refuse to look into and deal with have capacity to also grow. Remember Jesus? He said, a good man planted wheat, and when men slept, they woke up and saw tears. Then the servant of that master came and said, sir, we planted wheat in the ground, but we saw tears in the ground. He said, how? Then the master told them, because they didn't know. He said, the enemy, what? Has done it. In verse 28, and he said unto them, an enemy have done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Then he answered, nay, lest where you gather up the tears, you uproot also the wheat with them. The time that the tree of life was planted, you'll be surprised that tree of knowledge of good and evil was planted also that day. But it was not God that planted it. Because when God finished planting the tree of life, because God said, when man slept. So what was in the garden first was the tree of life. But enemy came and planted. It was not God that planted the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Some people say God that planted it. Bible does not explain everything, but you compare scripture with scripture. I always say every man when he's tempted, do not say tempted of God. For God does not tempt any man with evil. Neither can he be tempted. So God don't have evil. So God can't plant tree of good and evil. Satan that has good and evil on his inside. All Satan had in himself was good. But it turned part of what was good inside of him into evil. So we can see that life grows. Life grows. And if life grows and eternal life is God's life, eternal life will have to grow. So eternal life is not an instantaneous thing. So, and if eternal life had to grow, so there must be cultivation. So you can see that eternal life acts to be cultivated. So, because life grows, we must also be ready to cooperate with God. To see, to eat, that we allow life to be cultivated on our inside. So we can see that life of God is where dominion is. When you hear about dominion, when you hear about reigning, when you hear about government, it is in the life of God. There is no dominion outside God's life. The summation of God's life is dominion. The core of God's life is dominion. Life of God is not just breathing and breathing. God's life is God's dominion. And that is how God made everything that has soul on his inside. Everything that has souls. God made sure the life that runs that soul is dominion designed. Animals are soul. But their soul is very, very, very little. That's why their soul descends to the ground. How do I know they have soul? Because they recognize their little ones and they pour affections on them. And so that no recognizing and pouring affection, they are emotion and feeling, which is an intelligence. It shows that they have a little mind. Because it shows that they have mind. They have little mind. So their soul has little mind. And part of mind is intelligent. They can recognize. When there are 15 gorilla in a place, and they have 30 little ones. No, they know their mothers, and their mother knows them. Even if the small does not know, comes to another mother, he will go to push him away. Then you don't belong to me, go to your mother. So, he showed that there is a bit of intelligence in them. And so, that means that they have a mind. Because intelligence is a mind thing. The kind of mind they have is not the kind of the mind of a man. Our mind as a man is upper. The mind of every soul of human being is up. They call our mind, Bible call our mind as window. Our mind is called window. Bible refers to our mind of man. As window. I'm not talking about brain. Brain is the mind of our outward body. Because man is chapter. We are spirits. That's who we are. Because God is a spirit. And God made us in his image. So man is a spirit. But a spirit with a soul. So our soul facility or faculty as mind, as art. But our own mind in our soul is upper. God put our mind up to show that our mind has capacity to relate with God. But the mind of beasts of the field are beneath, are low. So animal does not only have brain, which is the facility of intellect to their outward body, but they also have soul. They have invisible components inside animal. They have it. But their own soul is low. So that's why, because of that, God will not hold them accountable. That's why God does not hold beasts accountable. But God will hold man accountable. Because the soul of man is very, very high. That God said, what shall he profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Not his body. Jesus Christ also taught it. He said, do not fear it. That can destroy the body only, but cannot cast the soul into air. Say, but fear it that can destroy both the body and the soul in lake. So you can see that the soul is a place that they cultivate life. Why only did my God gave us our soul is the place where God wants you to cultivate life. And the life in the soul of man is dominion design. So it's dominion design. It's dominion engineered. So man is dominion engineered. It's dominion propelled. Dominion is not ruling. Dominion is not exacting. Dominion is not bringing something under subjection. That's not what dominion is. Primarily, it can do that. Dominion is not primarily bringing something under subjection or subjugating. That's not dominion. Dominion is giving expression to life. That's what dominion is. Dominion is really giving expression to life, giving expression to living. A man may never subdue anything, but he's giving expression to life. But what the people of the earth know as dominion, like Joker was trying to correct his disciple, he said, for the kings of the earth and the priests of the earth and the lords of the earth, they exert authority. But it should not be so among you. So he now began to describe what it is that dominion is what you should serve. That is a life. It's an expression. It's an interpretation. So dominion is interpretation of life. Interpret a life. Give expression. Give meaning. Give divination. Give meaning to what mind has never captured. Make visible what man cannot think about. You're able to bring it where it's hid and where it's trapped, and you make it as a lie. You become, make it manifest. Then you say, this man has dominion. So God has life in himself, and the avenue that God has designed to bring open life, his life, is the gospel. The only avenue that is approved by God and accepted by God to make life known is the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1, from verse 9 and 10. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us, right, in Christ Jesus before the world began. So look at it. Before God created, before the world began, what God had proposed on his own. So nothing has started. God wanted his life to find expression. And I said, God's life is dominion. When you say kingdom, when you say dominion, government. Government is not necessary bringing people under you. First, majorly, is to make a way of life manifest. Is to bring something that is not known, to bring it into fine interpretation. Try to give it a meaning. Try to make it a reality. That's what dominion is to God. So before the world began, God proposed on his own self, the life I have on my inside, I want you to find expression. I want to see the full interpretation of it. I want to see how much of different evolving. If an iroko tree can spend up to 1,000 years, if you plant an iroko tree, you cannot through your lifetime see its beginning and its end. It's just one form of life that God put in a plant. That tree will be evolving. By the time you are 100, 120, you are tired. You go, he's still living. So by the time your children arrive, the second generation will see. Maybe they grow at this row, you can tell them the story. They also will see it. When it's 120 or 100, they pass. Their third generation will see it. So one tree, right away your presence, you will see it is changing. Because what it was when it was 10, it's not the same thing that same tree will be when it's in 30. Both in its fatness, the strength of its branches, the kind of amount of it will bring forth. So when they ask you to describe that tree, only tell him he can do this, can do this. Third generation that was not there, they will be describing something different from what you describe. And it's just a life in a tree that is morphing. Life grows. I say eternal life grows. Don't forget, eternal life was in eternity. And there's something about eternity. There's no past. There's no future in eternity. Eternity is a spread. And it's a spread. When you're in eternity, you will see vastness. It's just a spread. Eternity, yes, it's funny expression here. Can we put it to test in an environment that is not eternity? An environment that is time-bound and time-defined. Because eternity does not have time. So let us put this life to test in a time-bound, time-restrained, time-constrained environment. And let's see this thing that is a vast. Let's see it's evolving with time. That was the wisdom that bore for creation of the world. That's why. It's not because God was bored of life. There's nothing surprise. There's nothing new about God's life in eternity. It is only when God brought eternity into the realm of creation, God is not interested in growing eternity in heavens. God wanted to grow eternity in the lowest realm of creation. Because I told you something, I said, angel did not grow. So, heaven does not have what it takes to make things grow. Because when God made those beings, they find themselves who they are. So there will not be so much surprise. Heaven is as eternity. As I'm comparing. I'm not saying what they are the same. As. So heaven is as eternity. That's it. The way God designed heaven is almost close to eternity. The way, the kind of law that run heaven, the way heaven was designed. But heaven is not eternity. Heaven is a created world. Eternity is not created. But the way God fashioned heaven, because without that, those beings will not be able to minister to God the way God wants you to minister to him. But the present being that are serving God is heaven. We are trying to learn how to serve God. God wanted to put eternity to test. And so God created a world that allow and permit growth of life. So God has a life. I will cause my life, which in eternity it didn't grow. It's just with me. So let me see how can we grow this life. Let's cultivate this life. Let's cultivate it among creatures. And let's cultivate in a world that permits, that there's a law there that will permit growth. Which eternity does not allow. And which heaven also does not allow. So, it's where the law put, only the law of growth is only on earth. So, and God has a life. I will take the seed of my life and I will introduce it into a world that permits growth. And let us see. So, God was looking for surprises. God just wanted to explore. Let's explore this thing. Let's see. Did God say, let's explore this. Let's see. Eternal life is not new to us. We know what it is. But how will it be? We are not creature. But we just know that they are creature. And let's see how this life can find expression in creature. Knowing that that life is a dominion. It's dominion gene. So the only avenue that God had designed before the world began. It's not what God decided after. Before the world began, God decided that the only way we are going to use to communicate our life is called through the gospel. And that's what I read for us in 2 Timothy 1. According to his own purpose, is his purpose. God proposed it in his heart. Nobody coerced God. God had purpose in their heart. And that life, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus. So because the life are to grow, they put a condition, say appearing.
Appearing.
Meaning that purpose is not going to be an instantaneous thing. It's going to be appearing. Just like when somebody has a pregnant, you see the pregnant appearing. So God's life is appearing. That life will communicate through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death. And I brought, what did he brought? Life, and immortality. To where? Through the gospel. That's it. The avenue that God will show that life, the only avenue is the gospel. So God wanted to show life and immortality. For you to see this life, Romans chapter 2 from verse 8. So for you to see this life, because the life and immortality. So you know that what is this life? What does he use life? So I want to illustrate this life that he said he brought to life. Want to go? Let's read, everybody. So you can see that the place that God wants to give is immortality and what? Eternal life. So when he said he brought to light, life and immortality, the life, immortality, the life there is eternal life. No any other life. I think a life that the immortal has. The life that the immortal has is the life of the immortal. Is the life of the immortal. But man is not immortal. So man is not immortal. To bring life and immortality to light. Or to bring immortality, eternal life. We only add immortality to the eternal immortal. 1 Timothy 1:17. Because I told you, I say eternal life is a dominion life. Or it's a kingly life in God. God is a king. But God does not have subjects. Now I told you, I say kingdom, dominion is not mentioned about subjects. Because God said, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, they are God. The Word is not a subject of the Father in eternity. So kingdom is not necessarily about subject and subjugation. Now, unto the King eternal. So there is the King eternal. And who is this King that? immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory, be honor and glory, what? Forever and ever. Amen. So you can see that eternal God is a king. So the king eternal does not have subjects. But what made them to be king is because of life. Is the life. We saw a person like that also emerge in the Old Testament called Melchizedek. They say Melchizedek does not have father. Without father, without mother, without beginning of day, nor end of life. He abided a priest continually. And by his name, Melchi, is a king of righteousness. He's a king of peace. He's a priest of the Most High. There was not any city called Salem in the day of Abraham. But they say it was a king. Melchizedek does not have subjects. Abraham met this man. He was a king. Heaven trained him. He was a man. He was a man. Some people say Melchizedek is a being that emerged. That is a type of Christ that came in the Old Testament. No, he was a man. But something happened to him in his walk with God. They left him as a witness. They left him to meet Abraham. Melchizedek was like a man like Enoch. The earth has gone into idolatry. Man has subscribed to what Satan has propagated as life on earth. And everyone will not do without leaving himself a witness on earth. So when God went to call Abraham in Genesis 11:12, God made sure he left a man. Melchizedek was a man that God just kept him waiting. Like God kept Simeon and Anna in the temple for Jesus to arrive. God kept Melchizedek that before you will go, a man must meet you. Abraham must meet you. So Melchizedek, he didn't have a city. So God kept him to meet Abraham because the whole world has gone to idolatry. So God kept him behind. So when they say without father, without mother, he didn't jump from heaven. But there's a way he walked. He lived his life that you cannot connect him to natural descent. That's how they render it in Hebrew. That means you can't say, when you are talking about this kind of a person, the kind of life that he has found is not in the natural descent of man. So there's no natural descent. So what happens is that the altar is natural descent. And that's how the altar is natural descent. So much. But they start doing that to us too. If you walk with God. Because when you use meek of the word, one of the things meek of the word does, meek of the word make you supernatural.
Yes, sir.
What happened to your family will never happen to you.
Yeah.
Everybody in your mother's house, they die of high blood pressure. You don't have part with that. Yeah. The day you give your life to Christ and you are born again, something happened to your soul.
Yes, sir.
What happened to your soul? They injected faith into your soul.
Yes, sir.
Your father and your mother doesn't have faith program. And they injected grace into your soul. Your dad and your mother doesn't have grace. Something has entered into your soul. Yes. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Yes. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Yeah. Yeah.
For he shall believe with the heart, and shall confess with thy soul, that shall be saved. So that new birth gradually introduced you to the supernatural.
Yes,
me, want to gradually uproot you for natural descent.
Yeah. Yeah.
But are you ready to follow through the program of growth?
Mm.
So there were things that were natural to where Melchizedek came from. But a man lived by that. He walked with God. And he became a king. Because they told us what make him to be who he is. He said he became a king of righteousness. And he became a king of Melchizedek. He's a king. He has two crowns. He has two crowns. But that crown is not on his head. The crown is so. Because the crown is so. He came into a dominion. He came into a dominion of righteousness. Last week I talked about righteousness. And righteousness is life. He came into a life that they liken our Lord Jesus to. Obey God and came into a dominion. He accessed a dominion where Melchizedek walked with God and broke into a type of what was in God. Because the original one was what Dorcas had. Dorcas is the Melchizedek of the New Testament. What Melchizedek had in the Old Testament, Melchizedek had a copy of the original that Dorcas had. The Son of God was made in his own similitude. What similitude? Similar to him, but they are not the same. They are not of the same stock, but they are similar in their operation. So he came into righteousness and master righteousness. Because you can't be a king of righteousness if you don't master righteousness. A king is a man that has gained mastery. Paul was talking about that in Timothy. He said, who's a man that warreth? And who's a man that contests for a crown? He said, you don't crown him except he is temperate in all things and he gain mastery before you can crown. So if he says he's the king of righteousness, he has a crown. So he knew that he has masteries of things. Timothy 4 verse 3. So he was teaching that mastery comes by exercise. And nobody do exercise that does not endure pain. So when you are trying to gain mastery of something, you are going to have to endure many things. Thou therefore endure hardness. Hardness is not hardship. He didn't say endure hardship. Hardness is even hardship. God does not train his children with hardship. God trained us with hardness, but not hardship. What caused hardship is Satan. When there's hardship in the land, it's sin and Satan. God does not train his children with hardship. God threw the children of Israel to the wilderness. God did not train them with hardship. God trained them with hardness. What is hardness? Hardness is to convert clay to rock. Hallelujah. To convert flesh to spirits. So God used hardness. What hardness? God will repeat a process again and again and again. A process. God can let you repeat forgiving one person for 70 times 70. That is hardness. When he said, you are too hard on this child. It's not hardship. It's hardness that you are too hard on this child. Sometimes you do that. Every father was very hard on their son. You can tell somebody to do the same thing 7 times. Keep doing it until you know that you won't send me anything without looking at you carefully. So God, in training us with his life, will make you to go through at one thing again and again and again and again. It's called hardness, not hardship. But because you don't know, when you're hard on your son, you will think that you don't love me. No, it's that you want him to be very, very thorough. So he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus. No man that warreth entangled himself with a fear of this life. So there's a fear of this life. There's a life here on it. So it's not only God. Although when God created the earth, the life that God introduced to the earth, it's not what you see now here. The enemy came and introduced another life through the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God's intention, when he created the earth, is to introduce eternal life, to cultivate eternal life on the earth, to grow eternal life. And I say, life come through birth. So the first man that God came, God didn't bat him. God made him. Adam was made. Adam was not birthed. Adam was not begotten. Because the only way God's life will find expression is through birth. It's not through creation. God created everything. But God created man. But God has a wisdom that he will start with creation and introduce birth along the line. Really, really, the only way you transmit life is through birthing. If you want exactly your life that you have, it's through birth. So when God created Adam, Adam was a grown man, like the way angels were. Adam didn't grow. Adam grew with a mustache. Adam grew with bicep. Adam just matured with bicep and with big chest. So Adam didn't grow. But God needed that to be in place. So God eventually will bring for the process, but God put something in that was not in angel that he made. Ma can born. Or ma can give birth. But India can't give birth. Have you ever seen little cherub before that was giving birth to? So angel can't give birth. But God made man like angel, a full grown up man, Adam and Eve. But God put something in Adam. Adam and Eve can give birth. So they have a blessing that God is going to use that womb to bring forth his life. Because God's life, God wanted his life to be cultivated. So what God introduced on the earth, when God made the earth, was not his life. It was a created life. But God, in his wisdom, know that I will use this one, I will use it to route. So, but Satan does not know that, he thought that all that God has in mind is just half life on earth. But it doesn't matter, what God wanted to bring to earth is his life. That God just designed man to be able to use the womb of man to route his seed and his life. So the enemy came and corrupted the life that God created on earth. What is corrupted with? That God, if I don't know what you are doing, so let me also put my own. Like people are doing now. Different crossbreeding. They started crossbreeding seed. Now they are crossbreeding animal. So it started for Satan. Breeding and genetics editing. But it's not now. In the world that God destroyed with flood, they were doing that. How do I know? Immediately after the flood, man gave back and kept on doing it. So when God chose Abraham out of the nation of the earth, one of the law God gave to them, the law of Moses, that they must not miss their seed. He said that everybody on nation earth were crossbreeding. What produced giants? It was crossbreeding. They were not natural produce. When you see what happened, it's as big as human head. And they don't have any seed. You should never take it. That is poison. That's lab designed. So that word that God sank in the flood, it was an advanced word. They brought forth life that was not what God designed. Because God has life, this of like implants in animal, everything. They break them up for it. You know, God told Noah to keep two animals that are unclean, male and female, and clean ones. You keep them 7-7. Men took over those animals. They wanted them plenty. There are things that they did to them to increase them. Evil spirits are not dogs. Scientists have gone to study Egyptian pyramid. Advanced engineering can't do it. But people did it. In Egypt. Egyptian pyramid. Today, the way engineering is advanced, they can't do that thing. They can't replicate it. You think it's that thing? You don't know that thing? It's ordinary. Spirit taught people. Forget any invention you have seen. When Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, there's nothing new. Anything you have seen now is not new. It has been before. He said, what's what you have seen now? He said, it has been before. Solomon said, it has been before. What made God destroy the earth, the former world, the present world, is also running towards that thing back again. God reset it and it's running back to it. There's nothing new. So Melchizedek, by mercy, understood there's something in God that dominion and a king is not a person that has subjects. That kingship and dominion is finding access to life. And Melchizedek was interested in that thing. I said, God left him for the purpose that Abraham should meet him. He was one of the last set of people that God left. Melchizedek is the stock of Adam that God left. So that by the time Abraham was coming to the scene, the whole world was in idolatry. Maybe the only people that were around, Job also lived in the time of Melchizedek. Where they went to go and put Job in the Bible is the wrong place. Job should have been Genesis. They call it Joba. So he was around. But after that, men went into idolatry. Through the invasion, that is scattered the language. So I want to believe it was that scattering of that language, maybe that took Melchizedek to somewhere and took Job somewhere. They just said that he was in the east. He was glaring that around the time, and there was a man in the land of Uz. Abraham was from you have this Uz. Juice. So Abraham was from He was, this one was Uz.
Because after this, people have been scattered to different places. Whose name was Job? Because you can see that what Job and his men were talking about, they were talking about the Almighty. Which was the revelation that God also gave to Abraham. So they live in the same generation, but maybe different parts. But there was this man, Melchizedek, that they opened to him a life. They opened to him learning of righteousness. He learned righteousness, although that righteousness is not the righteousness of God. Just like the righteousness of Abraham was not the righteousness of God. So we can see that, I said, the way God gives his life is toward righteousness. Sorry, through the gospel. Brought to life, life and immortality by the gospel. But the God life has to be grown. Both the one that God gave as a copy or a similitude, God has to grow it as an example. And there is no way that you can give life. What is the content of the gospel? The content of the gospel is righteousness. So the only way that God can give his life is through the gospel. And the content of the gospel is righteousness. Or God knows that the seed of the life of God is the seed. And everyone of us know that the seed is tinier than the fruit and the oak tree. So the seed of God's life is righteousness. So righteousness is the seed of God's life. Eternal life is not a thing you can just take and put it. Eternal life is a life. So God has to take the seed of his life. So the seed of God's life is what they call righteousness. So the only way God can communicate righteousness or implant righteousness is the gospel. So when you read Matthew, when they talk about the seed of the kingdom, so righteousness is the seed of the kingdom. That's where you will see in Romans chapter 14. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and in drink. For the king, but it's righteousness. Or Matthew chapter 6. Seek first the kingdom of God, see the dominion of God, and its righteousness. So that the dominion of God, which I say is the eternal life, is God's life, as his seed. So the seed of the kingdom of God, the seed of the dominion of God, the seed of eternal life of God, which is the kingdom of God, is righteousness. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God has its righteousness. So the kingdom of God, the dominion of God, the life of God has his seed. So the seed of God's life is what they call righteousness. So righteousness is the seed of God. That's why you were dead in sin and trespasses. Your spirit was dead. And they wanted to make your spirit to come to life. So what you did when you said, give it to a guy, with the heart, man believe unto righteousness. It's what you believe unto. To believe so that your heart can receive seed. And move into your spirit. For with the heart, man believe unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For if thou shalt believe with the heart, and thou shalt confess with the heart, that Jesus is Lord, thou shalt be saved. So, who do you believe? You believe in Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Because the seed was in Jesus Christ. So when you believe Jesus Christ, you believe in the giver of the seed. So eternal life seed is righteousness. So, born again is not just become born again. Born again is implantation of seed. I'm not saying you don't have eternal life. Our seed didn't have eternal life. Our spirit has the seed of eternal life. That's why you can be born again. And when you continue sinning, you can die again. Paul said it. In Hebrew. He says, twice dead. Your spirit is quickly can die again. So when they wanted to give life to your spirit that was dead in sin and trespasses, they imputed righteousness. So imputing righteousness into my spirit is imputing seed of life. So it's not the full eternal life. Because full eternal life in the world of man has to grow. And God created a wall. Because eternal life can grow in heaven. So God created a wall that can permit growth. That the law of growth is possible. So there's no way how we can be born again. God will give us eternal life at birth. Because you don't give eternal life like that. Eternal life is only transmitted through birth. Through birthing. So what God did to us when we give our life to Christ, that's what we say, born again. Born again means that God implanted the seed of his life into the spirits of man. So what makes us new? What makes us call Christ was the seed of God's life. Call righteousness. When you see Hosea 10 verse 12. Want to go, everybody, let's read.
So righteousness, bring mercy, bring up the blood of the ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and bring righteousness upon you.
When you read this scripture, you see, I see they are repeating the same thing. The first thing, it says, sow to yourself in righteousness. It's to sow. Righteousness is a seed of God's life. We they imputed into your dead spirits. When you gave your life to Christ, you believe with the heart unto righteousness. And you confess unto salvation. So they implanted that seed. Just like when you take a loamy soil and put soil on your hand. To you, loamy soil is a dead materials. So when you take loamy soil, you don't see life there. So Satan thought that when he have killed man's spirit, that man's spirit was dead. And man's spirit was dead. Just like what made up soil are dead leaves. Decomposed leaf, decomposed wool, different kind of decomposed things is what made us soil. Decomposed life. That are decomposed, that are fair and decomposed. That was what our dead spirit, that was sin, that was our spirit was decomposed. But Satan does not know that implantation of righteousness into a decomposed things will bring forth new life. Is that wisdom? It's only God that has it. So, through the agency of Holy Ghost, they implanted righteousness to our dead spirit. But that was a good place to plant the seed of God's life. So, just like when you plant a seed in a decomposed soil, what happened to it? They sprout. That's the word we use. Say sprout.
Sprout.
When they wanted to talk, what happened to you? They say quicken.
Oh, body.
When you use the word sprout and quicken, they have the same principle.
Yes, sir.
Sprout. Quicken. Mm. So, the seed of righteousness, who is the seed of dominion? Who is the seed of eternal life? It's not eternal life. Because you don't say it is eternal life if it's not in a full blown. Eternal life is a full-blown life of God. So the seed of that life is what they planted in our spirits. And so they call it Christ. And you are the quickened together with Christ. So our spirit is not the old one. Our spirit is the one that was. They planted the seed of God's life into our spirit and they quickened it. So definitely, our new spirit is superior to the former one that died.
Yes, sir.
Because why? It is through the very thing is a seed of God's life. So God did that to give to us that it's time for me to cultivate my life. And cultivating my life is cultivating dominion. Or cultivating kingdom of God. Your Christ was upon the head. He told the Jew, when will the kingdom of God come? Because to them, they felt that the kingdom of God will come. No. See, the kingdom don't come. See, the kingdom don't come. Some of you usually pray, thy kingdom come. I see the things coming from external somewhere. See, the kingdom of God does not come by observation. Lo, it is there. Or lo, it is here or there. Say, for the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom is within. It's not what comes somewhere. If the kingdom is coming, is that it should come forth from your inside. It's not coming from external. It's from your inside. Somebody say, make sure you leave only so because we are going to the kingdom of God. We are not going to the kingdom of God. They cultivate the kingdom of God. Every time you guys call about the kingdom of God, you say, the kingdom of God is likened to a man that take a seed and plant. And I went to sleep and wake up. And the seed brought forth first the blade. Then after the blade, he brought forth the hair. Then full come. He never said, we go somewhere. He's never thought that the kingdom of God is where we are going to go somewhere. Go and read all the parable. The kingdom technology is that it should be grow and nurture on the inside. That's the kind of the kingdom. It's not a thing that we are going to go to go and receive. It's a thing that we grow, we nurture and cultivate it. That's the reason why we became born again. So, we can see that the seed of eternal life is righteousness. That's why they call it the righteousness of God. So, when Paul came in Romans chapter 1, 16 and said, I am not ashamed of the gospel I've established, the gospel of Christ. Why did they call it the gospel of Christ? Meaning, I'm not ashamed of the seed of the kingdom of God. Oh, I'm not ashamed of the seed. Though it's a seed. And Joker was talking about the seed. He said the seed of the kingdom is the least of four seed. It's the most tiny one. Eternal life seed is the most tiniest seed. Eternal life seed is tinier than man's semen. You know that thing? That you need a microscope to see the life in the semen. You know? The semen is just a liquid that carries the life inside. That's why when they say a man has low semen count. He has semen, but the thing that is swimming inside that thing is low. So when you say a man has low semen count, he has semen in his bag. He can bring it out. What is a low? Low mean is the life swimming inside that fluid. Sometimes the life swimming inside that fluid, sometimes it can even be many, but it's low. And there's something about that thing that is swimming. He has a short lifespan when it comes out. That 5 days... If it does not fertilize, it will die. Life is there. But 5 days is a lifespan. So, the gospel is like the semen liquid that they put righteousness inside, which is the life. So, Bible says, it says the seed of the kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seed. So, there are other seeds. You see, man has a seed. Every piece of the field has seed too. The seed of man, the seed in man biology, is bigger than the seed of eternal life. Joker was teaching the same thing. When you see righteousness is tiny. You see, Joker would say, for there is no dot and iota and teeth. Use your teeth. For very I say unto thee, heaven and earth pass, one jot or one teeth shall no wise pass from the Lord till all be fulfilled. So you can see that righteousness, the seed of eternal life, is just like nobody can see the seed of man. You have to wear a microscope to see the thing swimming. Abi? Likewise, also, you cannot see the life of God in the gospel until you go through a process of recovering of the eyes. That's one thing they said in Isaiah 61. Recovering of sight. Another parable put in Jesus, Matthew 13, 31. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seed. When you hear eternal life, the seed of eternal life is very, very tiny. So that's why when God is introducing to the seed of eternal life, to introduce to righteousness to your soul, which is the seed of eternal life. Sometimes you are expecting one big something, but sometimes the seed of eternal life is so tiny. Is the least of all seed. The commandment around the seed of eternal life, sometimes they look a thing that you can easily despise. To implant the seed, both to implant the seed and to water the seed. God, the seed is righteousness. The rain on that seed is also righteousness. Because what they use to grow God's life is still righteousness. So the seed is righteousness. What is the seed? The seed is the meat. But the life also has its water. The water of eternal life. So eternal life has its seed. Eternal life has its water. When you see Book of Revelation chapter 4, show he who sit on the throne. And before he who sit upon the throne, it's a sea of glass. It's a sea. But that sea is a sea of glass. Talking about the water of the throne. In Revelation chapter 7, you see the lamp leading men into the fountain of the water. They call it the fountain of living water. When you get to Revelation 22, you see that water becoming river of life. So life has seed, Because there's no way you will have seed of life and you don't have water to water it. That's why they put the seed of man inside water. Semen is inside water. Likewise, the egg of a woman is also inside water. So every seed are with its waters. So eternal life has seed, which is righteousness, and also righteousness also has its water. That's why when Jokai moved to the mountain, he climbed the mountain and sat down. The first thing Jokai said, when the disciple came to him, the first thing Jokai introduced his teaching, he's teaching about the kingdom of God. He was teaching about the kingdom. The multitude was below. Then the disciple came to him on the mountain. And he opened his mouth. See the multitude. He went up in the mountain. And when he was set, a disciple came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them. He was not teaching the multitude. Matthew 5, 6, 7 was not multitude. Was the disciple was teaching. How do I know? He said, why do you speak to the people in parable? But whenever we are with you, you speak to us plainly. But when his people multitude come, he starts talking parable. Therefore, the kingdom of God shall be likened to a man that opened, a man that planted the seed. But when we are there, we say, for blessed. Blessed. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor, for there where is the kingdom of God, or for there is the dominion of God, or for there is the eternal life. That the eternal life is for those who are poor. To be poor there, it's not that you don't have money. To be poor there means that you have counted everything that the life offers life. As nothing. That is summation of this thing. In your estimation, in your evaluation, you have done valuation to everything the world has to offer. And you say, the world, you will not make me rich. I don't want anything that this world has to offer. The essence of loss of the eyes and loss of the flesh is for you to attain pride of life. Pride of life is the crown of an ungodly man. The poor in spirit is not a newborn again child of God. You cannot be poor in spirit if you have not been blessed. Because this teaching, the blessed are they that are poor. God kept on blessing you until you attain the state of being poor in spirit. You receive something that makes you blessed. Blessed are the poor. You are not poor. A lot of Christians, a lot of pastors, a lot of apostles, a lot of bishops are not poor in spirit. What they want to check is your soul. A soul that has pride of life is not poor. He has used loss of the flesh and loss of the eyes. He has taken a pride, a life, a crown in that life. So before a man can be poor in spirit, he must have obeyed faith. What faith does? Faith will show you the nakedness of the pride of life that the ungodly boast in. The pride of the ungodly is the pride of life. That is their pride. That is the seat that the ungodly sit upon. I see it in celebrities. I see this pride of life in politicians. I see the pride of life in bishops and apostles that take relevance of what is life, not from eternal life, but from what loss of the eyes and pride of life can attain. Solomon called pride of life vanity. He said there's no ending to what the eyes have seen. That's a lot of the eyes. There's no end to what eyes can see. Those are activity under the sun. What is unending? He called it vanity. All things are full of labor. Man cannot alter it. The eyes is not satisfied by seeing. The ear, see with hearing. Neither the heart with pleasures that you can attain. You can't be poor until what? You have obeyed faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. It's not that you are not using your eyeball to see. What is the sight? The sight there is the loss of the eye. The sight is the loss of the eye. The loss of the eye is the sense. Senses of the flesh. Just as your outward man has your eyes, your mouth, your tongue. Yeah, you have feeling in your body. And you have your ear. Flesh is a light that sin design. Flesh is the life that sin as all farmer. So the eyes of flesh is what they call the lust of the eyes. Then the feeling, just like the way your body has sensory, that when it's hot, I'm hot. What does that do? Your body determines your response. Lust of the flesh is what determines the response of a carnal mind. So just like what feeling of your emotion, feeling reading your flesh, your body is cold, is hot. Those emotions, it is what lust of the flesh is to carnal mind. You don't base your conclusion about life, about what is pride of life, only on what has lost on the eyes. Also base it on how you feel about it. Base it on how does this thing fit to your mind? How does it fit to your soul? How does it fit to your heart? Those things are unseen, but they are real. When a man sees somebody, his colleague in school, they go out and you see them, they come with their jeep. A lot of them, they are wearing lace. The day they do for, and they're wearing lace of 1 yard is 500,000. 1 yard, 500,000. And they wear 6 yard. And you, before you marry to buy the one of 200,000 to carry yourself. And they come with their jeep. And maybe you see them and you feel inferior. That's what makes you to feel inferior. That's what they call loss of the flesh. It's a feeling. What feel? It's not this your body that feels it. It's your mind and your soul, your inward part that feed that thing. You feel it immediately. You feed that thing. That is what they call lust. So lust of the flesh is not that I come with my body. I want to sleep with a woman now. That's the lower lust of the flesh. That sense that you gain. That sense you gain. That knowing. Hey, damn, where are thou? I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you you are naked? Who told you are naked? Something telling was naked. That thing was lust of the flesh. So, lust of the eyes, he saw it that he was naked. Something interpreted what he saw. So, lust of the eyes make you see life the way sin has designed it. And lust of the flesh make interpret what you are seeing. What is it? You see, you can't expose sin if you're not a priest. God must bless you with eyes to see where Satan is hiding. Satan likes to hide. It's we that like to do ayagbangba. Satan doesn't know that. Satan likes to hide. Called the mystery of iniquity. It's already at work. Paul says, when I was with you, I told you that this is at work. It's working. You see, you can't expose sin if you're not a priest. God must bless you with eyes to see where Satan is hiding. Satan likes to hide. It's we that like to do ayagbangba. Satan doesn't know that. Satan likes to hide. That's he called the mystery of iniquity. It's already at work. It's a mystery. He wants to remain a mystery. So, immediately, you see that thing, and you feel like that. He gave interpretation. But we not only give interpretation. Also, it says, a carnal mind is death. And to remember, it's life and peace. For a carnal man, it's not just the laws of God. For that, there's no combination to do in Christ, who walks not after the flesh. So, he will tell you, you feel. It's a lot like what lots of you feel. And it gives you the vision of what you can explain it, different thing. But we not only feel, we only feel it. It will also tell you your life. Can you see? Can you see what you have become? You are the one that used to be the one, you should copy your notes in school. And you used to be the one that used to score A's. Can you see what your life has become? That thing become and start blackmailing your pastor. There's nothing in 500,000 per yard list. There's nothing. It's not a sin to wear it. It's not a sin. But when you are wearing 200, when you see it, but the meaning you derive from it, the issue is who gave you interpretation that person, because of what he's wearing, is superior to you. The issue is not the list. The issue is that understanding, that interpretation, that meaning that you get. Because take a child of 7 years old. So two of the people, the 200,000 per yard list and 500,000 per yard list. Tell them, a child naturally will gravitate towards the one that is colorful. Our own judgment of the things that it is what is beautiful. Because he does not have a sense. So your own response why you feel you are inferior is not because what you are wearing is a rag. The issue is that you put a class. That class is what they call pride of life. Because it's a pride. That's something just happened to you. When you want to take a picture, you go and stay on the, maybe you are 40, you go and stay at the last bar. You can do that if you have a logic complex. That's the wrong one. That's the wrong one. Another one of the flesh is that if you have used that thing happened to you, use it. After a while, that thing can you use your life and say, by the time we are having this is our 25th, by the time we are having our silver or gas or medicine, then that thing will tell you what you should start doing. What you start doing is that go right now, go and start your fufu restaurant. And you started hustling. You see, how many venture have people done that what informed such venture? All of us, we have no business with something we are doing. The source of what we are doing came from pressure that the loss of the flesh inform us. Because enough, this is the last time I'll be ashamed. You know, the Bible says, okay, kotegbe, I will measure to my mates. Then you took a oath. I will do something to myself. I will make sure that next time we are meeting, I will make sure I import my wear from Italy. Nothing wrong to wear Italian. But what caused the response like that? It's invisible force that is driving that thing. Because a man can wear something from Italy. It's not a sin. But that thing that is informing it. So that thing is what they call lust of the flesh. It's not the shoe. It's not the clothes. It's that thing. Because to God see that thing, you are serving it. Who throughout their lifetime they have served diverse lust. That thing is a service. You are not saying, but God says that you are serving something. But what you are serving, you don't know it. You don't, everybody does that now. Everybody does that now. But God says, no, you're a servant to that thing. You're a slave to it. When they sow, see that thing and respond, after a while, the more you respond, because it's a pride of life you have seen. And you want to attain it. Or you want to surpass it. So a person can vow. Sometimes vows, they are not vows. Sometimes some of them are just secret commitments you made in your heart. You didn't say it out. Sometimes the thing happened and it seems that you left it undone. But the thing is registered in your heart. There's something, formerly maybe when a brother, the house rent is not enough, you carry your part of your car. My brother, how is your rent? No, rent, yeah. I'm believing God for rent. So, you only have, how much you have? You have 500. How much is your rent? Your rent is 900. Okay, come and take 400. Take. I love that one. Former, that's how you live your life before. You are living by faith and not by sight. You wait again. Broken. He said, 200,000. Take. 150. But now, okay, this thing I can afford it too. But now, so that I need to be wise. Oh, boy, so man. So you will stop walking by faith. Because for we walk by faith and not by sight. When they say by sight there, by sight is not that you are not using your eyes to see. By sight means you are not using lust of the eyes to see. You are not using lust of the eyes to appraise things. You are not using lust of the eyes to evaluate things. Because you have known that the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of the kind of lace he wear. That's not your life. When you have money to buy 500,000, it's okay. When you have money to buy the one that is 25,000 now, it's okay. When you wear 25,000, you don't raise your shoulder. And now, come to now, begin to step. The way you do your hand like this, when you are wearing 5,000, when you wear 15,000, you should do your hand like that too. Because this world has not defined what is life to you. He has not shaped it. No, I was saying somebody that another person you can have a favorite complex and go and stay on the last lane. And there's another set of people that like to associate. No, that's another so too. Is that they want to now make sure they take the picture with the person. Both of them is lost. You know, the one to know is that the one that is feeling inferior and going to go and stay there. But there's another one. There's another so that he wants to make sure he will push everybody around so he can be at the center. I say, all right, meaning here. So James calls such people. He said, say, who hold the respect of person in admiration? These are murmurers, complainers. They are not walking in the spirit. They are not walking by faith. They are walking by sight. They are walking in their own lust. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust. And their mouth speak a grace-swelling word. Having men person in admiration, because of advantage. So there is this one that is philosophical complex that go, but there's one that he look for wherever there's advantage. Because to him, loss of the highest, he has a loss. I want to be like that. So he take advantage of it. And go and take picture. Because why? Why are they taking that picture? It's because they have advantage. It's not a bad to take picture. If you're in an event and they put on your, let's say, picture and you take, it's nothing bad. But all of them that took that picture, they didn't see it. They didn't see it. They didn't see that what drove that thing was a lust. They didn't know it. A man can be doing sin and he doesn't know about it. All of them are taking it, but none of them know. But me, I wanted to do it. Sometimes if you try it, because me, I know it. So, Joker said, for blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of God. Do you know something? Imagine those kind of things. Many of that, imagine and differentiate. And your soul come to a place. No, bold face. Not that I don't care. If we take picture with celebrities, I don't care. That's bold face. We are not deceived here. We know you. And we can tell your soul. See, I don't care. No. When you say don't care, everyone has a way of checking it out. Heaven will come and test you. Because they will make sure that your daddy's uncle knows the minister of finance. And you will go and visit them. And you will be desiring, uncle, introduce me now. But they will show it that you have it. But when everyone does something to a soul over time, they will expose you to it. And after a time, that kind of desire is not in you. So I knew that Thompson, you can't take this picture. Because it didn't come to your mind to take a picture with your brethren. It's this one. You saw that it's a person with advantage. But when everyone does such a thing to the soul, that a time will come where you no longer see any advantage. Even when you see that, even you see someone, no matter how big he is or how influential he is, if he's a believer, you thank God for the work of God in them. But if a soul that does not have work with God, you have compassion. Because the thing smells. This thing is very, very irritating. If you are spiritual. I've seen those celebrities when we travel. You see the way they want everybody to see them. Gossiping. Such life, the moment you become spiritual, they are smelling. I don't desire it. But that's a life of the ungodly. God will do something to our soul. 72 or 74. He said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked or the ungodly, 73, I saw it. The ungodly. He used the wicked and the ungodly. He was examining two of them, the ungodly and the wicked. He said, but I know their end. What's the end? They are grass and they are flower. We said in that something, which today is and tomorrow is cast into oval. David said, he said, they're like grass. In Psalm 73. They are today, but tomorrow they are not. But when you, if you see a grass, when the grass is growing during this season, when you see a grass growing during this season, you cut them today, tomorrow, they are grown again. They spring. But leave them. When they grow like that, leave them, let dry season come. That's when you see how weak they are. They can't take terrible sunshine. You see them, they start crumbling. He said, that is who an ungodly man is. When you see that life looks shiny. That life look appealing and seducing. Every man wants to be like that. Everyone wants to use loss. They walk in their loss until they attain the pride of life, which is opposite of what Christ's life is. A man that obeys faith. But when you obey faith, you say a man has become poor in spirit. When that life, what everything about that life of godly, not they make sense to you anymore. You don't make sense anymore. You know that you are not saying with your mouth. Really, really, really. Your soul knows that this thing don't make sense. It's a work that will be done in you. When they succeed to arrive there, that is what show to God. And it is to God that righteousness. See for the kingdom of God and its righteousness. But you can't move into the kingdom of God until you have sought that righteousness. That righteousness has done a work in you. And that's when the seed of God's life are translated to a reality in your soul. One thing that righteousness will make you, that will make you poor in spirit. But when you are poor in spirit, you are blessed. God see you that this is a man that is blessed. It's not a man that is blessed with goods. It's not a man that is blessed with vanity things. It's a man that is genuinely blessed. I mean, whenever we talk like this, people say, do you want me to be poor? You can never be poor. What do you call poverty? What do you call poor? What do you call poor? What do you call being poverty? Poverty is a thing of your mind. Adam was living in the garden, didn't have a cloth. When you sin, you say he's poor. All this division came when man fell now. Yeah. A lot of what we call poverty, he came as the end of man, the fall of man. Yeah. Will you see Adam without clothes and say he's poor? Yeah. He does not have clothes. Which is the most basic things that people is in life, is the most basic thing. He does not have clothes on himself. Will you say he's poor? Later you cannot begin to say that he does not have clothes. You can be sure that he does not have shoes. So if to you, clothes, shoe, type, Italian, Spanish shoe, China, Turkey, is what you do to relate that you're not poor. You are almost miserable. Yes. Adam did not have one of them. Yes. And they say he was a king of the earth. Yes. Things that we call poverty came as a result of our fall now. If I fall, I cause it. That's not that I'm not aware. I'm not against having them. And God's not against us having them. But that is not our life. Jesus was bold to say, so the life of man does not contain the abundance of what he possesses. Your clothes is your possession. Your car is your possession. Your shoe are your possession. And somebody say, life does not contain in abundance of what you possess. You can have them in abundance, but that's not life. In the eyes of God. But Satan had made God to design that life is in what we possess. Possession, so that your certificate is also your possession. Your master, your PhD, your professorship. They are your possession. But that is not life. When we come to this corridor in the New Testament, when we arrive at this point in the New Testament, and that, when this become the reality of his soul, you say that soul is now poor in spirits. That means you see everything that is on the earth as nothing. Heaven will record it to you. That means you can take eternal life now. For such is the kingdom of heaven. That's why when this rich man came to Jesus Christ, the young rich man, young, rich, and a ruler, three qualifications, He's a ruler. He's young. He's rich. See, you tick the box. Young. Mwah. Ruler. Mwah. And rich. Mwah. Close, close, close. That's not the real joker. Ask me, say, that was the joker. The guy also have done the law. He have done the law since his youth. He also know Moses' law. But he now saw another young man, 33 years old. That one did not go to school. His father is a carpenter. And he's not a ruler. He does not have a house. But he now came to him. He came to him. What can I do that I may have eternal life? That one look at him and say, oh boy, you get everything now. Nah. You get everything. When you want, why are you just an eternal life? He said, you're rich, Joshua. He knew that everything I have is nonsense. He knew that everything I have is nonsense. So now life I want. He came to him. Joker's okay. In the beginning, we need to make you poor. So that you want to let that. The eternal life as well, those who are poor. So let's start with you. Go and do the law. He said, I've been doing that for you. I love you. So one thing you lack. You want to tell that, baby? One thing you lack. One thing. Go and sell everything you have and distribute to the poor. And come and follow me. And you shall have. That was it. Left with great sorrow. So if you want life, the seed of life, they put the seed of life for us to engineer our soul to become poor. The purpose of the seed of eternal life, what do I call seed of eternal life? Righteousness of God, which is the gospel of Christ, is to make the soul poor. Is to make our soul poor. And when they are making our soul poor, we must not be saying, God, if not because you are the one, no. You know, some of what we do to God, we try to gaslight God. God, even if not because I follow faith by faith, by walk by faith. If I follow my mind, if I follow my lust, just put like that. Don't say if I know. If I follow my life, just say if I follow my lust, my own lust, I will not be like this. Yeah, I follow you and you abandon me here. Oh boy, don't rake for God. Don't rake for God. When you follow righteousness, will make you to be poor in spirit. What's poor in spirit? You no longer look for man's own lust that lead to pride of life. That's the essence of the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is where the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So righteousness of Christ, the faith program, will make the soul poor. And when you are poor, when you are not seeing life in those things, you are fulfilled. The soul, because you are pleasing the Lord. I'm not teaching not having things. So say you understand me.
Yes, sir.
You say you understand.
Yes, sir.
I don't want you to miss the goal.
Yes,
and there's nothing I'm trying to pitch in your soul.
Yes, sir.
Is a state. Prophet of the Spirit is a state in the soul. Where vanity that people call reference as life is not life to you anymore. Why that man left sorrowing? Because those things are his life. But if you see, if God tell you, like what Abraham poor, leave your country, your father's house, and your kindred into a land we show you. Just to make him poor. And when he did that, they say he has obeyed faith. And they now created righteousness, life into his soul. So heaven will give you instruction. Even when you want to make you poor and give you a job that is going to be paying you 30 million every month. And everyone wants to make you poor. So, Pastor, I want such a property. You're not the one that will choose. It's God that will tell me what to do. So, but I want everyone to make me poor like that. And they will use that 30 million every month to train your soul to be poor. Because it's not in having money. It's not having. Because there's a stream that says, it's not having or not having. It's that in that thing, they will train your soul with it. You can take the 30 million. I mean, they take it. They can tell you, go and put it in the bank. And your shoe. Say, go and issue. God said, be wearing the one you have. Believe me for me to give you one. Say, God, everybody know that. I'm in that company. My pastor knows. I'm blessed. God say, shut up. The one you have, great blessing. And every woman will go and touch a brother that is earning 15, maybe 55,000, that go and buy a China shoe. Because it is not about 10,000. It is about, can you use it? Or you have attached meaning. God, when you wear it, you know, when you wear it, something will scratch your leg. Your leg is scratching. It's not, you see, they, you wear that shoe until your leg starts scratching. Sometimes, you every mentor, they give it to you, and every say, this shoe, you wear it. Then you wear it. Sometimes, you, when you start wearing it, because you must not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, righteousness of God. You won't wear it and decide to put your leg inside the you wear it and you walk. You wear it and you wear it joyfully. You wear it. See, you see, you see, I'm talking about the way they treat our stomach are so poor. Because this shoe is not about the shoe. This issue about there's a pleasure the soul derives when you wear that Italian one. And there's something that the soul is not enjoying when it's wearing the China one. That's what they want to do to the soul. When the soul is like that, heaven can give you everything. I don't know that you are not going to be abused. It's not about the money. It's about your soul must not be contented in things. That is, it's a work. That thing is what they call being poor in spirit. That the only thing that satisfies you is God. And God and God alone.
Paprafando, Shashapauni, Kakamea, Tanda, Usia, Bairo Fefe, Temi Junua Tai, Kakadie Tunamia, Temino Kafafa, Faida Nama, Senoma Nata, another. Take away the order, take away the order, take away that order. Take away the order that has brought you into that order, that has brought you into that order of lies, life which is a lie, life which doth not exist, life which doth not appear even in my sight. Oh, taking away the place of falsehood, taking away the place of lies, taking it away, I'm shining light, I'm giving truth to the heart, I'm putting truth in the heart, oh, causing righteousness to spring forth, life, true definitions. Oh, rain. So you see rain. You see true life. You see true rain. See that which I'm bringing. See that which I'm showing. I take away the refuge of lies. I'm taking away the refuge of lies. Begin to live life. Begin to reign in life. True dominion. True dominion is here. Men and women expressing me, having me as the focus, having me as the center, having me as the drive, having me as the influence. Oh, true dominion is here, said the Spirit of God.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit.
bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeosinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.